ice cold beer.
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells, joined in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
What's up?
Okay, and joining us on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook. Chris Zook. Oh, please tell me that the switch is turned to the right spot. I think it might not be. So just a second, and as we try to get Chris Zook on the line... it is, of course, Friday, November 15th, and we are... do we have Chris Zook now?
I flipped the switch.
Chris?
Yes, sir.
There you are. Okay.
What's up, Zook?
I'm good to go here.
Little trouble with the bullpen phone. We got lots to discuss. So before we hand Brian his pack of matches and his kerosene for the hot stove conversation he wants to have, I do want to tip my cap to Cody Bellinger and to Mike Trout.
Fishman good.
The MVP seasons. I do also want to tip my cap to the fact that there were 3 twins on that list. So
there were.
Do you know who
yep.
got a vote?
Pardon me?
Do you know who got a vote in the NL MVP?
I'm looking at all the lists.
Kevin Pillar.
Here.
That's a homer stupid vote.
It is.
Get out of here.
It is. He got one vote. Which
you know what's
hilarious.
Crazy? Is he had as many votes as Max Scherzer?
Yes. I will say this. I mean, I'm definitely in the minority here. So Trout is the MVP? Are we, like, so we just give him the award every year? Like, I know this is sort of like Michael Jordan back in his prime here, right? But, I mean, I guess he can win this every year. But he didn't play the whole season. I mean, I know he had a great year, but... Again, if you're talking about most valuable player, the team hasn't made the playoffs forever. I mean, I'm not in the minority here about this. I know he has all the stats that back up all these the credentials, but...
This is the discussion that I've heard on a few different sports pods, some sort of like more generalist and some very specifically baseball, but around the idea of MVP. And value, like the V is the like active word in this set of words, right? And so like there's an argument to be made for like most important or
best overall player. I mean,
right, does the value of like whatever war Mike Trout produces on a seasonal basis when that team is like a 500 team, it means like it's the difference between being like an 82-82 team or
no.
81-81 team and like a 76
so
and 88
wins
team?
Above replacement is value. Wins above replacement is value. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball and posts the most wins above replacement.
He's
the
best player.
I don't care what team he plays on. Mike Trout deserves to win that
his
award.
His team cares like,
this
what
is,
team
this
he
is,
plays
this
on.
Is, this is a yes, Bill Simmons old man shouts at cloud
thing,
level take.
This isn't
this is brutal.
No, I really think that there needs to be a distinction
really
made
no.
because when you
no,
say valuable.
Brian, there's not an absolute on this. This is a subjective thing. There isn't a black and white right? Michael Jordan then should have won 20 MVP awards, which he didn't in his career. Or Wayne Gretzky, right? Like, it's a subjective award, Brian. So, I mean, you're wrong about that,
it's
right?
It's definitely because subjective. Kevin Pillar got a first-place vote.
He didn't get a first-place vote. He just got a one vote. He just got a 10th-place vote.
Listen.
He got one.
Didn't MJ win just about every, like, win MVP awards just about every single year?
Like, he didn't win every year, which he could have won every year, right? Barkley won a year.
Five times most valuable player.
Yeah, he could have been 10, right? I mean, in your, I'm just saying, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm stoking it a bit, but I'm just saying is that
no.
I get all the stats.
The answer is no. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball and deserves to win that award every single year.
That, Brian. I'm not saying that.
Every single year.
Was he not? That's fine, but he's not the most valuable player this year.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't, because the team would have been in the playoffs then if he was that valuable.
No. Okay, so this isn't like basketball where a single player can change how a team the fortunes of a team. This isn't Michael Jordan.
He didn't
even
play the whole season.
This isn't LeBron James being able to swing an entire season because they are just that much better and able to control the ball at all points in time. Mike Trout is a center fielder, and Mike Trout is one out of nine hitters, and that is the way it is with every single player in the game. Unless you're a first baseman and getting a touch on every single put out, and you are the world's best defensive first baseman, remarkable, you are touching the ball and probably less effective at touching the ball than just about anybody else. Even pitchers only get to touch the ball 100 times. They'll get to throw the ball 100 times every 5 starts. So I think that argument is ridiculous and it's flimsy and
it's not. It, but anyway,
wins above replacement.
Your opinion, Brian,
wins above replacement exists. It is an incredibly accurate account of what happened in the previous season. It might not be incredibly predictive going forward, but it's an incredibly accurate account of what happened in the previous season.
But Mike Trout, is it a measure of value?
Yes, it absolutely is.
No, because the value that you have to take into other account. So how
what
much
is
they're
value?
Being paid?
What is that is a steep slope
no,
to
I,
awarding an, of,
no,
awarding
no, no, no,
an
no.
award based on
what I
want to
argue
suppression.
Is best player. He's the best player. No question. He's the best player, but he's
that
he
makes
the most
him,
valuable
That
player.
Makes him the most valuable. That makes him the most... If he is the best player, then he is instantly the most valuable.
Brian,
I think value is a larger
then?
Net than we're casting.
Disagree. If you're the best player, you're the most valuable.
You could be the most valuable as a like $1 million like reliever who gets critical outs throughout the season.
So, again, then we're going down that slippery slope towards salary suppression. Awarding the...
I'm not talking about salary suppression.
No.
I'm talking about value. It's the same thing in football with a quarterback on a rookie contract providing value to the team that allows them
so
to then
now we're going to now we're going to award most valuable like, player to whichever like rookie of the year or whoever is on their rookie scale of deal is going to win the most valuable player award. I think that's silly and ridiculous.
No. I'm saying that's one piece of the value pie. Cuz I don't think we should just be able to like look at Baseball Reference, look at WAR and say that's the MVP.
I think so.
No.
Why not?
Well,
because it
Brian,
doesn't tell the whole story.
Absolute.
If you're the best player racking up stats on a terrible team, how valuable is that?
Still really valuable.
The difference between
still
32
incredibly
and 38
valuable.
Wins? Like,
I still
but,
incredibly valuable. I disagree with
help,
that take so hard. I don't care whether or not the most valuable player is in the playoffs or not. We had this argument in the NHL over and over and over again with Connor McDavid. And guess what? The Oilers are probably going to falter, not make the playoffs, and Connor McDavid isn't going to win again. The guy is by far and away the best player, and therefore the most
the best player.
The most
and therefore,
the
most valuable.
Therefore, the most valuable. If you are the best player, you are the most valuable.
No.
Yes.
No, Brian. Then you would have it as the best.
You're having a single game for your life. Okay, if your team
this
you
isn't
get to,
the
you
Space
get
to, Jam, if the universe
yes,
relies on
exactly,
one player,
exactly. If you have to, if the aliens come down and
it's
are facing off against
of year,
against
Brian.
Humanity, and you have
snapshot
to pick
if
one
the aliens come
player,
down and I have to pick one baseball player. I'm picking a pitcher because they're the one who determines that game. Absolutely. They're the one on the field the most.
That's an interesting...
Three at-bats? That's not going to save humanity when there are 8 other batters.
That's an interesting argument, but aliens come down, and it's not just a single game, but you have to play an entire 162-game season. You're taking Mike Trout. You are taking Mike Trout. Therefore, most valuable. I think it's a silly argument to say otherwise.
It doesn't reflect always every year. Then we might as well give it to Mike Trout every year until he retires. That's your premise of this.
He hasn't won. He hasn't won. He hasn't had the most WAR every single year he's played.
Doesn't mean he's the most valuable player.
He hasn't had the most WAR every single year that he's played.
Okay, leadership. Let's go with leadership then. If you want to go down this road, where's the leadership to put this team on his back to get in the playoffs? Which
it's an individual sport. I already debunked that argument that it's an individual sport.
Your absolutes are not correct on that. It's not all based on stats. That's why.
Yeah,
subjective.
Because him going in there and giving a speech is all of a sudden going to make a 210 hitter hit.
I'm not telling you about that. I'm just saying is eventually when he gets in and they win a World Series. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. We're not questioning that.
Best player maybe ever.
No one's questioning that.
You keep saying best player.
No one's questioning that.
That's your argument is he's the best player.
And therefore the most valuable.
I don't equate the two.
Trout would be
I think
better.
You have to.
Trout wouldn't be as good if the Astros could be picking up the signs on him and they could tell.
Okay, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Best player on your beloved Blue Jays.
Yeah. Without looking at wins above replacement this past year, it was probably Smokey.
Most valuable? Is he the same person?
Probably Smokey then.
How about the year that they won?
Okay.
Best player? Most valuable?
Donaldson.
Not Batista.
No, Donaldson.
See,
So this past year, Marcus Stroman had 3 wins above replacement. Kevin Biggio, 2.5. So I guess had to have been Stroman then. And yeah, I guess that would have made him the Jays' most valuable player.
Stroman this year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right, and you're saying Kevin Biggio had the second highest WAR. How many games did he play? Right. When did he come up?
Fewer.
Yeah, so he was the best on WAR, but does that necessarily take into account that he was there the whole season?
Then do we start making the argument about WAR per 160? I don't necessarily mind that argument.
This is the thing. I think that the has to take into account a larger picture than just performance when they played.
I don't necessarily mind the WAR per 160 argument or the WAR per 150, whatever you want to set the number of games. The rate stat per season, but again,
Trout. Take into account
this year
team record.
Trout. I don't at all.
Right. Well,
there's so many
because we see this in the NBA.
There's
these,
so many
these teams that come in like a rookie who comes in on a terrible
team,
first
again,
round rookie,
but
and
again,
gets all the minutes,
but
and all the stats and racks them up.
But again, a single player,
300,
a single player in
record.
Hockey, a single player in basketball has such a large. Has such a large
impact. If they
impact.
Have that such a large impact, though, and they
in
are the
sport,
most valuable, the best
because
player
of the,
on that team
of
and rack up the
number
most stats,
of players,
why are they not performing better as a team?
The few number of touches that ends up happening, I just think it's like in basketball and hockey, it's way different because there are far fewer people that are involved in every single moving piece. And a single player can take over in those sports, unlike in baseball.
So believe it or not,
but a starting pitcher is very valuable as well. I mean, it's your thing about that they're only on there, but they're the stopper, right? If you have an ace,
right,
Scherzer, Verlander, those guys are ones that you want to go to work.
I agree that those guys are very important. I agree that those guys are very valuable, but WAR is an incredibly good stat for that. It's incredibly good,
it's a great
and it's incredibly cross position, and it shows who the most valuable and the best players are.
So believe it or not, I did not intend by tipping my cap to give you the matches early.
Yeah, it was good.
Because
let's do Astros. Let's talk
this
Astros.
Is this that is where I expected Brian to douse himself in gasoline and light himself on fire and protest.
I'm not lighting myself on fire, but. Anyways.
Well, I knew you were going to be something dramatic.
I'm mad about this.
Let's cue this up. The fact is, the Astros, Mike Fiers, I guess, was the first one who lit the match and accused the Astros of having been stealing signs.
Electronically.
During their World Series winning season. And that was, and even before that, I think?
No, he just said in 2017 that they were stealing signs electronically.
Okay, Ryan, let me hear your take on this one, because I'm ready to go here on this one.
Sure.
What's your take on this?
So my take is it's cheating. It's cheating, and
end of story. Actually, it's the end of the story on that.
And there needs to be something done incredibly harsh about this. This is the worst baseball scandal since the Black Sox.
You know what's interesting about this? I talked to my brother about this yesterday, big Blue Jays fan, right? And he mentioned, and I don't know what he came up with, or it was just in the universe of the sports that this came around. In college, in the States, this happened. They vacate titles. They take away titles. Now,
I don't think you can really do that in major league sports.
Let me finish here. So you cannot do that in professional for whatever reason. But it is to that point. I believe it's that egregious. I've heard takes of saying it's no big deal and stuff. It happens all the time.
No, this is different.
In baseball, this is
I don't care.
Different.
I don't care about picking up on pitchers, tipping pitches. I don't care about runners on second stealing signs. Sean Doolittle had a really good take on this, and if you can do it with your eyeballs, fine. If you are doing it within the limits of human ability, you know, if you're looking and seeing, okay, like there's a guy on second and he's able to pick up the signs that way, I don't care about that. That's gamesmanship. That's part of the game. Electronically, where you're able to catch every single sign ever and it's through a high-powered high zoom camera, that's cheating, and there needs to be, it's the biggest scandal in my opinion since the Black Sox, and there needs to be something done seriously about it. You can't vacate titles, so I think whatever the punishment needs to be needs to ruin the Astros upcoming season. I think any single player that was on the 25 man roster during that season needs to get suspended for at least 80 games at least. I think Cora, Beltran, and Hinch should miss an entire season each.
Not going to happen.
I think they should levy the maximum possible fine of $2 million at the team. And I think they should lose their first round pick, the first through fourth round pick for the next 3 years.
So 12 picks?
Yep.
Where are you at, Michael?
So my point for this is not only did they ruin the competitive balance and throw into question the validity of an entire season, but I already know of two careers that they've ruined. Dellin Betances and Yu Darvish were never the same after their signs got stolen in playoff series by that team. Never the same.
Yu Darvish had a pretty good year this year, but I would agree in general that it's very different, right? One thing about this is actually, it's a really weird in 2019 that we're still doing signs. Like, couldn't they? Teams should stop doing that, you don't get in this predicament.
I think they should be running. I think the pitchers and catchers should be running smartwatches. No, seriously, catcher has whatever 4 or 5 options on there. He pokes it. And then pokes a 9 grid squad on the watch to show the location that he wants. Pitcher gets that information. Technology exists. I don't know why it's that hard.
We're talking about a sport that they have trouble to get anywhere into the 21st century, right?
But
I would agree with what Brian is saying is good. I'm glad about that take because I would totally 100% about this. It is. But it's weird, but I feel already it's being whitewashed a bit that a lot of people are saying, it's not a big deal. It happens.
It's a huge
and all
deal.
I think it is a very big deal.
It's a huge
and it
deal.
Does go to the integrity of the game about this, right? They systematically did this to win a championship. Let's not beat around the bush here. That was a big part of them winning a championship in 2017. If they didn't have that, would they have won that championship?
Their strikeout rate went from the 20th in the league to the first in the league overnight. From 2016 to 2017, they went from striking out 28% of the time to 17% of the time, instantly.
Right, and in a game that the biggest part is to put the ball in play to hit a baseball. If your strikeout pitch is now not a strikeout pitch because they know that it's a curveball that's going to be out of the strike zone. Well, then that's incredibly advantageous to that batter, to that team.
Well, as far as I can tell, based on the evidence that's gotten from all the internet sleuths, including guys like John Boy and Rob Naylor, it's that what they did was it was different number of bangs per the type of pitch. They didn't have enough time to relay the location. So one bang was a primary off-speed pitch, two bangs was a secondary off-speed pitch, and no bangs was a fastball. But still, knowing when to gear up for a fastball is a and when to lay off is a huge difference. You can tell in those Dellin Betances games in the ALCS that he that they were laying off every single slider. Every single one they weren't touching. And for him, that's such a huge strikeout pitch that's catastrophic. That calls so much into the integrity of the game. I just don't have words.
Well, it's almost like putting the ball on a tee. You know what I mean?
They still needed to be good enough players to hit the ball, but at the same, like, it is a big deal. I'm not saying it's not a big deal. It's a huge deal, and something needs to get done.
Well, no, but the thing is, which is interesting, is I'm surprised about Major League Baseball and sort of the silence so far. They said they're going to investigate and stuff like that, but maybe they're going to do something underground stuff, but I mean, my goodness, I'm surprised it hasn't been issued about this is not acceptable. An acceptable practice.
Has been a lot of internet sleuthing, and there's an overwhelming amount of evidence, but I do think that Major League Baseball is doing the right thing by keeping it under tight wraps until they have all the evidence that they need or want. Mike, you've been remarkably silent about this.
I'm stepping out of the way as you two take over, but I did want to... So as far as, like... I don't think we're going to get anywhere close to first through fourth round picks over 3 years.
You're
going to see, like, so I what I pulled up actually is a comparison point with Spygate. The Patriots were caught taping practices of their opponents, right? And it wasn't an isolated incident. It was multiple incidents over the course of a season, and what the impact was and what the league ruled. Now, obviously, the NFL is not MLB, but Belichick, as acting as essentially GM and coach, was the one who was fined the maximum levy in the NFL of $500,000 because he is the person at the top of the decision-making tree, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Luhnow... he was GM at the time, right?
Yeah.
I think. So, he's the one who should be fined to the max of whatever the MLB level is.
Well,
the team itself as a whole should be fined. And then they were stripped of their first round selection in the following year's draft. And I think, like, that we're not going to see, like, a mountain of levies and impacts to them, but at least something that recognizes that what they did was, like, drastically wrong,
so
but can't be undone.
My biggest problem with that is if it's just money that gets and one single draft pick that gets taken away,
then
there are going to be enough teams that are going to look at that and say, I don't care.
We'll pay the $2 million in the first round pick.
If we win, we win. Who cares? Winning a trophy for a lot of these guys, right? For ownership, obviously, money's a big deal. But for a lot of these guys that are so competitive, winning is the most important thing, and they're gonna take that price. If the cost of cheating is whatever $2 million and a draft pick, I think you're going to see a lot more teams doing this.
Oh, sure, because they would make that back on just championship gear alone. You know what I mean? They would make it a residual of the next year selling a championship team. Of course, any team. I mean, they'd be lying if they say they wouldn't. Yeah, they all talk about integrity, but if they had a chance to cut a corner to win a championship, that isn't. It isn't cutting a corner if it's not really, adhered to, right? If they're not enforcing it, then are they really cutting a corner, right?
I agree that you're probably right, Mike, that we are going to see something like that. I personally just think that it's not steep enough.
Right, and I don't know, like, I mean, I don't have the MLB, like, owner's rule book.
Right.
I don't know what is allowable,
it's,
right? Like,
well,
what Rob Manfred could...
The maximum fine is $2 million.
No, but I mean, like, as far as, like, picks and things like that.
Because it's not defined in the CBA, I don't know. He's going to have to set precedent here.
They have to then put in something in the place,
he's
right?
going to have he to set the precedent league? Here, and there's, the MLBPA gonna is going to is gonna have to fight it.
The question is, reaching the point at which the punishment is enough of a deterrence for future
incidences of this, right?
Right.
And I don't know if they can reach a point within what's allowable right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can... So, the... I mean, if we're talking about not equal precedents, but not exact precedents, right?
Like PED equivalents?
Exactly, right? Like, so...
But the first-time offenders, which this would be considered...
Is 80 games. And missing the playoffs. Which is equal but not exact, because you are using something to gain a competitive advantage that is calling into question the integrity of the game. However, because it's not collectively bargained for, even if that's the penalty that is given, it will be fought, and it will end up in neutral arbitration, and you'll probably end up with something middling, 40-ish games, and no playoff suspension. Maybe it depends on whether or not the MLB wants to take that drastic of a step. I've seen people on the internet, some pretty sane people, some good baseball writers, saying that Manfred should, but won't, go full Judge Landis and hand out some lifetime bans. But I don't.
No, that's not going to happen.
I don't think that'll happen, and I think that is also a step too far. We're talking.
I would argue that the Landis decision was a step too far, too.
Yeah, probably.
Because by all accounts, the White Sox ownership were terrible.
Yes.
Their players, and this came about out of desperation on the players' part.
Well, I mean, there's a really good piece that's written on, I think, Hardball Times called 8 Myths Out, that these players were actually still paid pretty well. That the ownership was not great, but it's not that the players were struggling. It's a really good read, and I do recommend it. It's called 8 Myths Out, and it debunks a lot about the problems, about the myths about the Black Sox scandal, and that these guys weren't exactly struggling. They were just being greedy. But I do agree that was still a step too far. But I think the steroid punishment's acceptable. I think that the guys involved. So Beltran and Cora were apparently instrumental in devising this system, and I think that they deserve suspensions as well. Hinch, obviously, I think deserves a huge suspension for the way that he's handled it and lied through his teeth about it on multiple occasions. And I think the players that were involved in it, anybody that was on the 25-man roster that particular year, knew about it, benefited from it, and didn't say a word from it, and deserves... I think they should get the steroid suspension.
And it'll be interesting if they find out they continue to do it after 2017. That's all we know about, but maybe the investigation will find out more, right? I mean, that it has to.
I mean, the internet sleuths are out there and digging through hours and hours and hours of home game footage to see. But most of the ones that they've seemed to have found take place in 2017. So who knows?
Which they won a championship.
So. Believe it or not, as hot as we're getting about this, and certainly within the realm of baseball, this is...
about to get a lot hotter with Amy Goodman.
I was going to say, it is impeachment week, and so Lord knows Democracy Now! Is going to get you even hotter under the collar. Thanks for listening to the Bench Junkies here on 101.5 UMFM. Have a great weekend, and we will be back next Friday.